Our new psalm series begins with Psalm 133. How very good and pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head, running down upon the beard, on the beard of Aaron, running down over the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord ordained his blessing, life forevermore.
Well, my friends, grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So the Psalms are not so straightforward. They are complex poetic writings. And the ancient Israelite people who composed them, they poured their heart into these words. They capture the dimensions of the human experience. They're full of raw, honest emotions and longing. They express both joy and sorrow, faith and doubt, and at times they even voice anger and frustration, demanding that God needs to act. My friends, the Psalms are bold. And the Psalms were on Jesus' lips as he was growing up. He grew up in a Jewish household, and these words from the Psalms were written on his heart along with the stories of generations past when God did powerful, mighty things. And today's Psalm 133 is one of what we call the pilgrimage Psalms. So whenever festivals were happening in Jerusalem, like Pentecost, there were people that were the Jewish diaspora, the people that had been dispersed all through the ancient lands, who would make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Neighbors and friends and families traveling together. And along the road, they would sing these psalms like a cadence as they journeyed by foot, singing of God's goodness. It was sort of like the slug bug game, right? Or the license plate road trip game, right? That was singing the Psalms was there, that was for them in that day. Imagine Jesus as a child on his way to Jerusalem with his parents and his family and his neighbors singing the Psalms, recounting God's goodness and mightiness, sort of like we did a little while ago. Behold how pleasant, how good it is. Imagine them singing as they were going to Jerusalem. Psalm 133 is one where they envision how indeed good it is when God's people are gathered together from all over, gathered in unity and harmony at the temple, waiting to receive God's blessing. And the psalmist compares this to being bathed in expensive, fragrant oil, flowing down from the head over the beard onto the collar. And you see, in the ancient world, hospitality was a sacred duty, a sacred duty. And so a true dutiful host welcomed their guests into their home with water to wash the dust off their feet and scented oil to soften dried skin to sort of mask the odors that you can imagine maybe came with dusty roads and long travels and heat. And oil was also used for the ancient ritual of anointing, which reflected God's choice of person and people for holy purposes. That's why the beard of Aaron is mentioned here. It recalls long ago when Aaron was anointed as the first high priest of Israel, who would go into the temple and make prayers and sacrifices to God on behalf of the people. Togetherness, unity, harmony, for the psalmist, is like the goodness of God's hospitality and welcome and purpose. And it's like fresh dew that falls on a parched mountainside, bringing a refreshed green landscape to life. The pilgrims walking to Jerusalem, they sing about these things. They sing about unity in community, what God has always intended for us. But you and I both know that harmony is not easily attainable, is it? And in our contemporary culture and context, unity and harmony seem hard to come by these days. And I think we often mistake conformity for unity. Conformity says that to be on this side, you must be like one of us and act like one of us and look like one of us and behave like one of us. Conformity often tends to fear diversity. And fear causes us to build fences instead of tables. Fear causes us to other people, you know, to find reasons for others to be different enough that we can justify excluding them. Fear causes us to hold tight to what we know and what we have, to hold tight to our comfort and our security, instead of being transformed by generosity and transformed by welcoming and getting to know others. Martin Luther said that fear causes the curvature of our heart to begin to turn inward on itself, reinforcing our inclination to scapegoat others, to blame others. Fear is being trapped. Fear is being trapped in our need to preserve and secure ourselves. But you see, my friends, Jesus beckons us to a different type of unity and harmony. Not one that's based on our own self-righteousness, not based on our own image or ideology or beliefs. Jesus is our unity. Jesus is our peace. Jesus is the center. Jesus himself. Jesus on the cross put to death all of the sin that separates us from one another. We are gathered together as a community that's unified in Jesus Christ because of what he accomplished on the cross. There is now only Jesus standing between us and our neighbor. There's only Jesus. And we are liberated from feeling fear because Jesus has overcome all sin, all evil, and death. Which means that being in community includes growing pains. It includes change, and it means a willingness to learn. It means a willingness to open our hearts enough to welcome strangers, to get to know our neighbors, and it means humility. Think about our gospel reading. A blind man who is named Bartimaeus in other gospels. He's calling out to Jesus. And people in the crowd are gathered around Jesus. Those who have been following him, they turn around and they sternly order him to be silent. Bartimaeus is quite literally an outsider. And you see, back in Jesus' day, if someone suffered from a physical ailment, it was thought to be because they were sinful or unclean, which meant that they were shunned. But Jesus calls him forth. Jesus calls on the voice in the back and calls him forth. And he restores his sight. Jesus not only physically heals him, but in that day and time, Jesus restores him to community. Jesus restores him to relationship with others. And Bartimaeus joins the people in praising God and in following Jesus. As Lutheran Christians, we believe in this daily rhythm of faith that we call our baptismal life. That is daily dying and rising with Christ. It means nailing to the cross with Jesus the things that keep us trapped. That keep us trapped in fear and in death. Our judgments, our biases, our self-righteousness, our fears. Things which on the outside maybe might offer us security on the outside, but are really just mirages. So we die to ourselves so that we can be raised with Jesus anew every day. Every day. It's this rhythm of dying and rising. And my friends, Jesus was anointed by God. In fact, that is what Christ means, the word Christ means. In Greek, it's Christos, which means anointed one. In our case, it's the anointed one, right? Jesus the Christ. And you and I are part of the body of Christ, and you are anointed too. In baptism, you were marked with the cross of Christ forever. sealed by the Holy Spirit. We are blessed and we are called by God for a holy purpose, to be people of love and mercy and compassion and justice in this world, to be people of courage and boldness and not of fear. For Jesus has shown us love. And as 1 John says, perfect love drives out fear. May this be our psalm and song always. How good indeed it is to be gathered together in Jesus' name, to hear good news, to sing and to pray, to share in the Lord's meal. How fragrant and refreshing it is to be here with Jesus at our center, Christ our peace. Thanks be to God. Amen.